Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Well, welcome, 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 welcome. I always say welcome at least 4 times. Wake up, it's mission accepted, and here we are. I am so excited for today's episode, and so are you. In case you didn't know that, just shake it off a little bit. Thanks for coming. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. You can do it all. You can listen. You can watch. If you're driving, please just listen. Please just listen and be inspired. Super excited today because we have a guest that I'm pretty sure you probably haven't heard about his sector. Or if you have heard about his sector, you have no idea that someone out there is doing what they're doing in that sector. So when I think about, you know, people working for or starting or being part of a nonprofit, I don't know what happens for you, but what happens for me is all the things that flood through my head is, what would someone do? How would they do that? Do people make money? Is it tough? Do you have to get people to volunteer to work? Like, there's a plethora of things that go through your mind. Would I want to own a nonprofit? You know, are people favorable of nonprofits? People love them till they don't. Like, all of those things that kind of spiral through your mind. And look, at Mission Accepted, who do we bring on the show? Entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs, creatives, and people that are self-supporting media. So by nature, being an entrepreneur, you think of all these kind of things that are going on. And I have to say, being an entrepreneur for 30 years, I have not come across someone who's like, I've always wanted to start a nonprofit. It's been usually due to a situation or maybe someone in their family, or they've had an experience and they're like, there's something that I want to do something about. But honestly, that's my vast knowledge of nonprofits. So let's bring in someone who has much more information than I do. And I'm actually really interested to find out. I know this man is, you know, I'm not going to say he's complicated. I'm going to say he's complex. I read his mini bio of 3.2 children, and God, he spent more time in hot yoga than anyone I know. And he's inspired to help people that are inspired. That I get. So let's kind of dig down, Christian, and welcome to the Mission Accepted podcast today.
Thank you so much, Deb. I'm super excited to be here.
Absolutely. So with that lead in of nonprofit, what, you know, so many different things go through people's minds. So you have a company and it supports people in this nonprofit sector. I was blown away when I read that 10% of all the people employed in the US are actually employed by this sector. And you've kicked off more than 3,000 or supported more than 3,000 nonprofit businesses to get going. So there's got to be a story there. I mean, we got to turn over that rock. Like, how did you end up doing this?
Well, it goes back to when I was 8 years old. My mom had taken my little sister, who was almost 4 years old, took her to the doctor, and had come back from this trip. And my mom's a pretty lighthearted person. And she called me in from the porch. And I grew up in North Jersey, and I'm out in the woods that they eventually tore down all of that and put in a big mall. I'm out in the woods riding bikes with my friends and just having fun. I come inside and she looks real serious. And she says, I took your sister to the doctor. And the reason that she is not verbal at almost 4 is because she never will be. There was nothing physically obvious, but she was developmentally disabled, what we called back in, you know, 1977, mentally retarded. And either way, she would not be progressing in life like the other kids. She was special. And I was like, well, she's special to me. I only have one sister. I'll see you later, Mom. Ran back outside to play. Well, over, it wasn't long, after that, that I was, she was called in, and my poor mom, you know, single mom, she's waitressing. She gets called in from work and she has to pick me up. I'm suspended from school for getting in a fist fight in third grade. She's like, oh no. Well, it turned out that this was at a time in the mid 70s where they were mainstreaming the special kids, right? The special needs kids into mainstream schools. And it had been institutionalized, and that became a real scandal in the US. You heard of Willowbrook and all these places where kids were just kind of shuttered away in these buildings. So they were mainstreaming these kids. And as I was walking from one class to another, the special kids were coming this way, the other kids were coming this way, and I saw some kids making fun of the special kids. And I don't even know what happened. I just am in the, I'm in the office and I'm in trouble. So I was kind of defiant, and I said, they asked me, you know, if I was sorry. And I was like, no, I'd probably do that again. And so little did I know, this had turned me into sort of somebody who was out for, to help the underdog. And fast forward to 2010 or so, I volunteered to start a nonprofit for completely different reasons with some friends. And I said, why don't you guys go raise some money and build a website? I'll handle this application thing. I mean, how hard can this be? And little did I know the rabbit hole I had just entered, right? So that's where I, you know, heard from the IRS. I called, I got a form letter, you know, oh, you're interested in starting a nonprofit. Got a form letter. And they told me at the front desk when I called that it would take about a year to get approved. And I was like, this is outrageous. And I was so triggered, and I had to sit with that and wonder, like, why am I so angry? I've had experiences at motor vehicle, like I shouldn't be surprised. But what it did was I thought about it, and it all stemmed back to my sister. Well, I had grown up around Special Olympics and all these amazing people who wanted to help people like my sister. They should not have to crawl over bureaucratic broken glass to get something good done when starting a regular business is fairly simple, fairly easy. So right. That caused me to say, I'm going to solve this. I'm going to figure out one way or the other. And so I cold called extensions in the IRS by changing the last couple numbers on the phone number that they gave me for my agent. And I just begged, pleaded, cajoled, and asked all these agents, anybody who would answer, why is this so difficult? Why does it take so long? What would be the perfect file? And then the killer question, what would make your day as a bureaucratic desk worker, a clerk in this office, what would make you feel like somebody cared about you, make your day as far as a file? I curated all that into a love letter to a bureaucrat, what I call the love letter to a bureaucrat. And I got a 45-day approval in the face of a one-year normal timeline.
I have to, sorry, I have to stop you right there, because that is that people, that piece of information that was just shared is so applicable to entrepreneurship, not entrepreneurship, just life. Just like, I just got off a call and we had that exact conversation on how to move the needle on timeframes of things that are really important to you. For me, it had to do with actually my son. And it's interesting that you talk about, I was like, we are vigilante soul brother, sister, because I had the exact same thing happen. My brother was born with one eye closed. Now I'm going to date myself when I kind of do this. And we were on the schoolyard and someone threw mud in his eye. Now he was not happy with me. You know, your sister probably was more proud of you than me because my brother was older. And I, same thing. I don't know what color I saw. People say red or whatever, but it's because we know the heart, the full heart capacity of what actually is going on behind the scenes of that situation in that, you know, time space, I would call it, where there was this unknowingness and these children and they're different and they have all these titles and labels and things. So yeah, I got in trouble for beating up a boy. That was really not, I don't think my brother forgave me for like 10 years because it didn't help his reputation. But so I feel it on you. And so just being able to speed up that process by actually literally saying and asking the right questions, I guess is where I'm getting to. That's incredible.
It was really key. And I didn't even, that wasn't a story to me. That's just like, that's just what you do. You know, I'm from North Jersey, you know, and it's like, give me the phone. What do we got? Who do we got to talk to? You know, it's kind of that I grew up sort of lower middle class, like you didn't have everything handed to you. You just went out and made it happen. I wanted a nice BMX bike. I traded around for some parts and I built one. You know, I wanted to make some money. I'd borrow Jimmy's aunt's lawnmower. I'd go sell a bunch of lawns before I even had a lawnmower. Then I would borrow the lawnmower, go mow the lawns and collect the money. And like, this is just how you do things when you grow up, figuring out how to make things happen. And so it didn't even occur to me that that would be interesting to people, but I told that story once and it was great, right? People love kind of getting back, especially at a big bureaucratic agency like the IRS, and kind of, you know, sticking it to the man. Some people might look at it like that. Some people might look at it like, hey, this is about, you know, these are inefficient processes that block people from living their dreams. And that's the way I look at it. Nothing yeah. should keep people from living their dreams and actualizing that life that they could live. And that's a very low vibe way of getting blocked, is like the bureaucratic process. Once you're through that, you're usually your own worst enemy. And I know what that's like, being an entrepreneur.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. And I think that you're absolutely correct. I mean, that's very much an entrepreneurial philosophy, to kind of go for it based on, you know, how you were raised and how you were thought, and how deep the desire for the outcome can also, I mean, we've all seen, you know, videos and clips of parents that lift cars, you know, to get it off their child or what have you, if the draw is strong enough and the desire is strong enough. I think the brain kicks into its own sense of creativity. And what happens for a lot of people is that they get this creative splurge of, oh yeah, I can. But then another little voice, the voice of what we consider reason, is take your turn, you know, sugar and spice and everything nice, you know, puppy dog's tails, all those little poems that we hear about how we should act and how we should behave. And, you know, this is how long it takes, and don't be greedy and don't expect more and know your place and children should be seen and not heard. And all those things come into play that I think makes people dance between it, which makes, when you tell a story like that, all the inside, you know, the inside brave are like, yeah, take it to the roof, dude. Yeah. You know, I want to hang out with you. So it's an important story to tell, because that dance happens every day for entrepreneur, not entrepreneur, entrepreneur, not entrepreneur. Or why I wanted to call the show Mission Accepted is because, you know, when you take the mission, it's the first mission request probably isn't the hardest.
Yeah. Hardest. Well, I love the idea of Mission Accepted, because once you go into that rabbit hole, you know, once you leave the Shire, right, you're all in, there's no turning back. You'll never be happy if you've accepted a challenge in your heart to turn back and then go, you know, this just isn't for me. And I watched a documentary on Elon Musk last night, and I don't love Elon Musk because he's the richest man in the world. I love Elon Musk because there's a sense of vulnerability, and just he doesn't act like he just knows everything, but he has this ability to call into existence things that other people have tried and failed. And he talks about things that really help other people, like first principles. He shares this thinking in a way that I go, oh, I didn't know what that was called. But if it's possible and you can draw a line from A to B, then go that route and forget what's happened before. And he's just shown us so many times that in multiple industries, that releasing ourselves from the constraints, you know, placed on us by history, by our parents, or by what other people have done, you know, is at least something to explore and dig into. And it can really release so much human potential, so much opportunity to solve problems that plague humanity. And I'm really excited that is becoming something that's available to everyone, and not just to a select few who can afford to get into some special schools or be introduced to the right people at Harvard or whatever. We are democratizing human potential right now in a way that, while there's forces that are trying to suppress us, there's this huge opportunity to advance and really do a quantum leap into the future and into a beautiful maximizing of what we were created to be, and accessing that. And that just gets me out of bed every day.
Well, that was very elegant, well said, and I couldn't repeat it. But, right? No, beautiful. It's beautiful. Right. It's like I was listening to Ram Dass this morning and I'm like, can't explain this to anybody. I'd be like, let me send you the information. But, you know, it was about the soul, knowing the soul, you know, 11 minutes of YouTube Ram Dass to start the day. So tell me, let's get into it a little bit. You have a company. What is it called? And who are your clients? What are they looking to do? And how do you make that better? Because you have a business helping other people start business.
Absolutely.
So tell us about that.
I'm glad you say that. Starting a nonprofit, it is, I don't want to say just another, but it is just another business entity type. Your customers may be different. The product that you create might be of a different sort. And your the place that you get revenues might be slightly different, right? But it still needs to have a business model. It still is a business. And in fact, the nonprofit term in overseas, they use NGO, non-governmental organization. I like that better. But what I like even better is I help people start for-purpose organizations, for-purpose corporations called nonprofit corporations with 501c3, which is, you know, the American tax-exempt status. And with this is a done-for-you process so that you can focus on your mission and not on all those 26 discrete bureaucratic steps that we help you sail through by just creating a completely done for you, very predictable process and helping you focus on your mission. That is what we do at instantnonprofit.com. We serve people at all levels from like very local, the rural Mississippi wrestling coach who has no money, paying this out of their pocket, can get one of our very affordable packages and get a 501c3 so they can go raise the $80,000 it costs to get new mats at the high school, right? All the way to exiting entrepreneurs that probably some of your listeners have heard of, have used us to start massively globally impactful organizations and put operational and fundraising training in place as well and assets as well after they start the nonprofit. But whatever we do, our job is to take that one special seed, that special gift that you've been given, that's your experience, the miles, the pain, whatever it was that made you want to help other people, help the planet heal or whatever it is, that's the one special seed that you bring that we can't reproduce. We want you to focus on bringing that to the mission into reality while we take care of all of those bureaucratic things with our done for you process. And so that's essentially what we do in a nutshell.
And so needed, right? I mean, I think the part of being an entrepreneur, and I'd love for you to share a little bit about your experience as an entrepreneur. The part of the entrepreneur that kind of can take people out of the game or can divert an entrepreneur is the plethora of things that are needed to run a business. And people think, I'd love to do that, but, and in the but is, I don't know anything about marketing, I don't know anything about social media, I don't know anything. And so then we hire, but then you need revenue. So you have a business idea that you need to make revenue so that you can hire people, associate. The one thing I love about, I mean, that's how we did entrepreneurship and, you know, there's a five in my age and I'm not going to tell you anything other than that. So back then it was, there's the idea. And we, by nature, just organically grew alongside. Now people are pretty conscious of the word of entrepreneurs. I mean, there's, you know, my 18-year-old starting his first company. And so we've got this generation. Yeah. We've got a generation. And so there's enough of us that have done it for a while or done it differently or done it expensively that can kind of coach and guide. And there's so many resources, but one of the things that blocks or stops people is the amount of work that is needed to get something up and running and successful. So the fact that you do it all is really important because, again, someone starting a nonprofit may not realize or may not be an entrepreneur. They may be a strong person with a really important cause, right?
Absolutely. I love that. That is so key because so many of our customers are not entrepreneurs. They're not. Some are serial entrepreneurs. And this is simply a social enterprise, a socially beneficial enterprise. That's kind of their next thing. And that's great. We love those people because they really are just able to get out of the gate. They usually have a little team or some, you know, in the hero's journey, right? They have the group of friends that are going to come along and help them. And they have that vision, that confidence that whatever the obstacle is, they'll figure it out. Then you have the, on the other side, especially in nonprofits, you have the empath who is already helping kids. They are already going to the soup kitchen and volunteering. They're already out there in the world organizing environmental cleanups at the beach or whatever. And they go, you know, I just know that I could do this better, but they have no business experience. They're just a heart-led person. And that's really where I love to serve this spectrum of people, because we can help them with this done for you process, not to worry about how to run a board meeting, for example. Our packages come with how to run a board meeting 30 minutes or less with a 9-step agenda. You can download a video, all of your corporate governance documents. We give you everything pre-drafted, because right. That board meeting should only take 30 minutes and not the US average of 3 hours and 26 minutes. Because when you're just starting out, there isn't a lot to talk about. It's better if you go out there and get into action, make a difference, make an impact, take a picture of the before and after of that beach you just cleaned up, and then present that to people who can provide you the funding to keep the mission going. So if we can help people bridge that gap and give them some early wins, and early wins are so important for somebody who's just starting out, then they can feel, wow, well, if I accomplish that, then whatever problem that they come up with next is going to be diminished in its kind of scariness and its size and right. The challenge that it presents.
So again, I keep picking these pieces out. I should tell people, I actually met Christian as a referral from a colleague, a mutual colleague of ours, who's just kick butt Mr. Podcaster. And he put us together because I'm organizing a big walk across Ireland. You guys have probably heard about it, and you're going to hear about it for the next 15 months. So get used to it. And myself and a girlfriend, I've been an entrepreneur for 30 years. She's been a police officer for 30 years. And we're going to walk across Ireland and raise money for the music industry. We're very excited. And Christian, I'll fill you in on some of the new stuff on that. But even as an entrepreneur,
join.
Right? Yes, join. If people know the music industry, there's Alicia Keys has started with a plethora of beautiful people, an organization called She Music. She is the music. And so they've agreed to be part of the recipients of this. Now, in that process, even someone like myself, who's an entrepreneur, I have an entrepreneur. I'm a business. I know things, but entrepreneurs are busy. There's people that have causes that are busy. I'm going somewhere with this. My partner has been a police officer for 30 years. She's like, whoa, what do you mean we have to start an Instagram page? How do you do that? I'm like, whoa, we need a volunteer, you know? So even for someone like myself, who's really experienced, someone like her, who's like, I'm just showing up on the walk. Just, if I have to get some pictures done, show me what I need to do. Even for us, it's been a difficult navigation through time. When you just said that you've got a document, I'm telling you, every person I know that can take a 3.5-hour meeting down to 30 minutes, those are critical pieces of information. So tell me, how did you get to know what it is that people needed? Because you shared that, you know, you started this process and you went through that process. But when you have these, documents or videos or coaching sessions or what have you with you, what does that do for somebody? I'm sitting here like drooling over that document, but what does that do for the end result? How can, like, it must be amazing.
Well, so we started the company and it was sort of accidental. I needed to get this nonprofit started for myself. So I solved my own problem by cold calling the IRS. And then very quickly after that, somebody in town, some friends in town, and I was blogging about this a little bit, some friends in town found out that I knew how to get this done, or I had gotten it done for myself. And they said, hey, we have this, it's a rural area, but up the road, an entrepreneur had sold his company for over $1 billion. Yes, would it be $1 billion? And that was before, like, you heard of all these unicorns. This is back in 2010, 2011. And they said, we want to start a school to serve these rural kids. There weren't really any education options. There was one option, which means that's not an option. So they wanted to start a little private school for kids in our area. And they said, we found this, we have this friendship or this relationship with this guy who just sold his company for $1 billion. He'll underwrite most of the cost of the school. But there's one catch. He wants us to be able to register kids for this fall, which was at that time about 7 weeks away. And I was like, I don't know. Now, I had just done this, but that was for me. When you go to do it for somebody else, I'm picturing, you know, trying to go to sleep that night. I'm picturing like crying kids and people who avoid the coffee shop that I like to go to after that, right? Because they're mad. But I knew that if I didn't take that challenge, I would never forgive myself. And I just had to go for it. Even if I had to drive to some ivory tower, you know, IRS office somewhere and jump up and down at the front desk, I would get the job done. So I said, yep, I'll do it. I made up a price. I had no idea what to charge. And I went through the same process that I did, that love letter to a bureaucrat that I had curated, used the same process. And after a few very nervous weeks, I got a 5-week approval. I mean, I totally over-delivered. Kids went to the school. As a matter of fact, I registered my kids for that school. And that showed me, aha, this isn't just something I did for me in a pinch. This is something that I could possibly produce a business out of. And so after hundreds of nonprofits moving forward, what I started to learn from people is, where are your speed bumps? Where are they getting stuck? They don't know how to have a board meeting. They're missing a filing the next year, and then they're getting revoked or they're getting nasty grams by the state or federal government. They are they think they can't raise money because they don't know that the IRS's official policy is to backdate tax-exempt status to the date of incorporation. Well, why don't I just go find the IRS guideline, copy it, slap their logo and the guideline on a memo, and then give them a stealth marketing document so they can raise money on day one? Well, people went crazy when I came out with this, and it was just obvious to me. So what we've done is we've predicted, and through doing all this, every speed bump that a social entrepreneur is going to run into starting a nonprofit, and we've hammered it down to the degree possible. So that's what every one of our package includes, at least this minimal, right, 101 level. You're going to run into these problems as a founder, and we've already provided you a solution. And that's what people love, is because then the board meeting doesn't seem so scary. And even, how do I recruit people? How do I ask people to join my board? How do I come up with a durable name for my nonprofit? How do I come up with a mission statement? In fact, we give a formula for a one sentence mission statement, which is a powerful weapon. Everybody can talk for 30 minutes about their mission, but can you talk for 30 seconds about your nonprofit, right? Now everybody knows that as the elevator pitch, but before all of that, and many of these people don't even know, they don't watch Shark Tank, they don't know what an elevator pitch is. So why don't we take the best of entrepreneurship in America and in the world, take all those principles of lean startup and all that stuff, give them to nonprofits, and that's exactly what we ended up doing.
Let's talk about you a little bit. That was incredible. Let's talk about you a little bit. So I know in some chatting, you've got a TEDx coming up. There's a book in its process. Maybe you're going to tell me a little more about that. But also, so what about you? What do you do as, I think some of the best learning and teaching that we get is from people that have gone through what we've gone through or going through what we're going through. And so you created this, I mean, I want to say the word mandate. It's almost like a franchise. It's like, here's your package for people to be able to make it easier. But you yourself are an entrepreneur. You yourself have a process. You have a life. You have thoughts, feelings, what have you. What do you do when you're kind of up against the wall? Like, I mean, I can hear how you go up against the wall and you've got time frames and you help people, but we, you know, in your moments of watching Elon or having your moments this morning where I'm watching Ram Dass or what have you. So what about you as an entrepreneur, or you as a person? Share a little bit about you.
I think, you know, I mentioned kind of growing up lower middle class in New Jersey, right? And having to kind of be resourceful and make things happen because, you know, that was just the world I lived in. My family background was not, you know, my dad, my mom, they did not have the best environment. Nobody talked about emotional intelligence and all that stuff back then. And, you know, families really we're alone to deal with whatever baggage that came along from generation to generation, right? This kind of healing work that's so popularized today and so mainstream and so available to people, from meditation to psychedelics to all kinds of other types of modalities to heal through things, didn't exist. And so growing up in the environment that I did, I had to kind of fend for myself in a lot of ways. And my parents divorced when I was very young. And you know, there was some abuse in my home. And so what I didn't realize was that I've always, and when I talk about the stories up till now in this conversation with you, sometimes I've found that people go, oh, you just knew what you wanted to do and you just go for it. And all. Not at all. I mean, it's been a really major, you know, long-term struggle to become resourceful and to be able to recover from hurts or screw-ups or mistakes without beating myself up for weeks. And so, you know, I sort of got into personal development. I got into healing work because I really needed to. I've almost lost absolutely everything, including this business, because I didn't know. I had these horrible limiting beliefs and these terrible habits of negative self-talk that I didn't even know were there. They were just that voice, like, you effed up, you didn't try hard enough, you should just go at it harder, how could you, what's wrong with you, those kinds of things. And I didn't realize that I was sort of building myself a life that would be building a company, a marriage, my relationship with my kids, my you know, everything in my life. I was building myself things that were unsustainable, and in some cases creating monsters in my own life because I was driving myself out of these limiting beliefs. And so I had a real crisis about 6 years ago where marriage, the family, the business, everything. I mean, I just lost it all. And money, there was just, I had nothing. And I, you know, kind of woke up in a borrowed bedroom at a friend's house riding a bicycle with no car, no nothing, going, what happened to my life? I have this great mandate and I'm doing these great things for people and people actually think I'm a decent person. How could I screw this up so badly? And what it was it was the universe, it was God, whatever we believe in. That was my quantum entity power, right? Coming to me and saying, I want you to grow and this is what it's going to take. And I didn't realize I was so resourceful. I resourcefuled my way right into the pit of hell. And in that time, I realized the day of wisdom that sort of began the whole rest of my life was a day that I realized that every idea that came out of my resourceful little brain to figure it out, fix it, get it back, right the ship in some little way was exactly the kind of thing that got me into the pit to begin with. And so when I realized that and I just shut up and I allowed things, I read Eckhart Tolle's Power of Now. I went to a transformational retreat that introduced me to some radical ideas. I was a Christian at that time. I'm now more of a Zen Christian, if anything. But I was introduced to a way of thinking that allowed what is to be, and allowed myself to, instead of whipping myself harder when I screwed up, I would make myself a curry and a hot bath. And what a different way of life I've had since then. And all of those things I had to give up have all come back to me in a way that's so beautiful and sustainable. I'm so, so thankful that it was literally beat out of me and that I had this moment of clarity to realize, like, you're full of shit, yes, but that's okay. Forgive yourself and change and accept and grow and learn. And that is the trajectory I'm on. It's really all I like to talk about anymore, because this practical stuff of starting a nonprofit is all attached to a spiritual purpose. And there's tactics and strategy, yes, in between. And that's very important to learn. But if we could just learn to accept, like if I could just learn to accept myself, grow and get over these things, my company will be so much more successful. I will be so much happier and I will live a life that's sustainable and not die unhappy of a heart attack at 70.
Well, thank you for being transparent. I believe that it's starting to be, personal development is starting to be almost part of the circle of life. You know, when we were going to school and there's the four food groups on what keeps you healthy. Okay. And so now I think that the world is more than becoming accepting and almost expecting that when you even interview somebody, there's part of that personal development piece that's critical. And I think as we move on in life, or as we go up the ladder of life, or the ladder of our companies, or what have you, there's just so many mirrors and so many reflections. And if there's pieces that are not happy, or pieces that are not working, and I relate and empathize with a lot of your experience, is that at a certain point they show up. At a certain point they show up. I think you can only put so much garbage in the lid before it starts to get bigger, and you try to put the lid and then it makes itself apparent. But the one thing I want to say is, you know, congratulations for the courage. I mean, whether it was courage or forced courage, you know, we take it, right? But it took you down a different path in the trajectory. And I believe it makes us a more whole person. And obviously, when you talk, you can just see that and sense that there's a great roundedness about your experience. So I think it happens to us all at certain stages in our life, whatever that takes. So congratulations for that. So much more you can bring to the table for yourself and your family and your business. One question that I don't know, I was reading your things this morning, and maybe because I just find it so interesting that we go into the different careers. Was there anything that you ever thought when you were growing up, or you thought, I always wanted to be this, or I always wanted to be that, or I wanted to be a race bike guy, or I wanted to, you know, did you have an idea of what you wanted as a career, or when I get older, I want to?
I would say that no, my life was characterized by just exploring. If you're familiar with the Kolbe personality test, there's the Myers-Briggs, that's probably the most popular. There's the color code, there's the Kolbe. And mm-hmm. The Kolbe comes to mind. I am a 10 on quick start, and I'm about a 3 on fact finding. So that means I had a ton of jobs before I got into issue advocacy, which is something that I worked for a nonprofit that preceded me starting a nonprofit. It's just a job in many ways at first. But I didn't really have this, I want to do this or that or be this or that. I mean, there are things that bring me joy. Like I love dirt biking. I love just getting out into the woods. And, you know, as steep as a trail as you can introduce me to in the mountains, I'm going to see if I can climb that on the dirt bike without it going, you know, head over heels. Anything with wheels, anything with an engine, I just love that stuff. I have a skateboard mm-hmm. and paddleboard and, you know, mountain bike, and I love all of that stuff. I grew up around my dad's shop. My dad had a Porsche repair shop, and it always took one form or another. You know, it was, he'd had a few shops, and let's just say he is better at, he's a savant when it comes to diagnosing what is wrong with a high performance German engine than all of that business stuff, right? The business stuff is hard. It's kind of like people who start nonprofits off, and they're great at serving people, and the business stuff, you know, that doesn't come quite as easily. And so I grew up around all these amazing cars, and I just have always lived and breathed things with wheels, things with power. And, you know, that's kind of something that I would like to do in the future, maybe race as an amateur or something. And it's not about Formula One. I don't feel like I missed my calling, but I sure do like pulling some G's around a racetrack.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So look, we're coming kind of to a close here. And for someone who deals with, you know, many entrepreneurs, let's just call them, if you had some advice, you know, if you had some advice to give people that not maybe just wanted to start a nonprofit, because obviously they need to contact you and we're looking for your contact information. I know that you have some things to give away as well that would be really helpful, and people are going to drool over. Even I was like, I almost want to start a nonprofit because they're so good. But if you had to give some people some advice about the world of entrepreneurship or entrepreneurship or reaching out or being a creative, being that singer that wants to be a singer and they're looking for that break, you know, or do you have anything that has gotten you through?
Definitely. You know, my desire is like, I wish I could give away without all of the pain, without the mess and the fires and the conflagration of everything, right? The permission to, you know, be, experience self-love, explore self-acceptance. And I don't think there's any better way than to just start doing whatever it is you're passionate about. Now, people start nonprofits all the time. For example, it's part-time. They have a really demanding job, but they're already kind of helping in the neighborhood or doing the thing, or they know that they are really good with horses and they studied, you know, therapy back in college, and they would just like to do things with, you know, equine therapy for kids, whatever it is. Or, you know, they want to sing, they want to do things. Find a way to start doing it and get through that little uncomfortable piece, because it's such a spiritual mirror. It's such a mirror into who you really are. And so you can embark on this journey of self-discovery by engaging in the world. And boy, don't we need that after all this pandemic stuff, that we need to get out there and see what we're made of and not stay in safe little cocoons. And that's, to me, the purpose of life. I was watching Elon Musk last night in a documentary, and he said, you know, getting into space and shooting, you know, humans into space and becoming an interplanetary species, right, is a big thing. But he's like, watching this happen and being a part of it makes me happy to be alive. And it was like, it was a very childlike thing to say. And it's like, how can you find your inner child, not make some big thing like planet interplanetary species? That sounds like, whoa, that's really heavy. Let me even understand what that means. Yep. But then the little kid in him came out. And I think that's the difference between him and all these people who couldn't get it done before, is the childlike spirit of, I want to shoot someone. I want to shoot a rocket off the ground and make it go. And then it's tied to this bigger why, but there's the action in place. And then he learns with every failure. He expects to fail. Failure is a win to him. And that is something that I would offer to people, is get out there and hope and expect to fail. Embrace the failures, love yourself, and keep going.
Awesome. Now, look, I have one question that I want to save for you. So before we get to that, can you tell people what it is that you are offering today and how they can reach you? And I know you've got some great things that people can tap into that are free, that don't have to.
I would love to. So for all of your listeners, we have a special gift, or set of gifts actually, at instantnonprofit.com/mission accepted. So instantnonprofit.com/name of the show, mission accepted, all one word. And if they go there, they can get a free 10-day boot camp. It covers everything you need to know to even think about starting a nonprofit. Maybe your friend is wanting to start a nonprofit, or you've just had this idea and you don't even know, is this nonprofit worthy? What is exempt activities? And, you know, what would be covered under charitable activities? That's all covered there. You can also get tons of free resources on, you know, naming your nonprofit, mission statement, anything, if you are going to go down that rabbit hole at all. And then finally, you can have a free strategy session with me or one of our top staff who can help walk you through, well, what would your next steps be? What would this look like? And if you came on board and we helped you, what would that be like? You can do it yourself. You can get our help. But either way, those are the array of gifts that we have at instantnonprofit.com/mission accepted. And I just want to see people get out there and do what it is they're called to do on their heart. And they might not even know exactly what that looks like. So we'll help as much as we can figure out if that fits into that mold or not.
I think that you said that in a way that really was impactful when you said calling on their heart, because it's like, just let that tug have voice. You know, many people have things, oh, I really wish I had time for this, or I had time for that. And I'm glad that you talked about how a lot of people have many, I mean, a lot of what I do is I work with entrepreneurs, and many entrepreneurs, I love this new phrase that I didn't create it. A woman named Lauren created it. She's a PR for Art Vancouver. So I'm going to give her kudos, but she was like, I worked off the side of my desk until you know, the desk became her full-time business, and so much happens outside of our desk. And so I think listening to that calling. So my big last question for you is, it's pretty profound. I think you better just like, maybe you better sit down for this, but so you're on your way to a desert island, you and you, kind of like how we wake up every morning, us and us, right? And you can only take one album. You get, it's not one song, it's the whole album. You get to take one album with you and one album only. Christian, what's it going to be?
Oh, hands down, Led Zeppelin, Physical Graffiti.
All right.
It covers so many different genres. It's a double album, so I kind of cheated.
Ooh.
But it's got such a beautiful tapestry of different styles, from Black country, old English, you know, folk rock, to heavy metal, to all kinds of different things. And it's my favorite. It really brings back a lot of memories of my childhood.
Okay, so Led Zeppelin, Physical
Graffiti.
Graffiti. Okay, I haven't, but I will. Thank you for that. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Incredible. Thank you for sharing, honestly, from your heart and also from your entrepreneurial brain. Lots of really great gemstones there. And listeners, viewers, whichever one you are, if you feel like you'd like to be sitting in Christian's spot and you'd like to come on the show and you have something that you want to share or you want the world to know about, please contact us, right? Please contact us. And the people that come onto our show are Self-Made Media. If you're a singer or an actor or a dancer, if you're in the creative field, you are an entrepreneur, or if you are an entrepreneur, you are creative, by the way. So we love to share people's, you know, they've accepted the mission. And what is that? What is that? And how does that look like? And how can we help each other? The other big thing that Mission Accepted is really highlighted on right now is the weekly show that we do for the Gen Z generation. There's this idea around that, oh man, all these kids are coming in. And, you know, I talk to people that are a little older and they're like, I can't keep up. I can't keep on top of it. These kids are wired for technology. They know how to do TikTok, Snapchat, Facebook, whatever, you know, whatever's coming next in ways that I can't market. But the other thing is that generation really needs, I know because I have one, is, you know, they need what we have, the experience, and know how to shake a hand, know how to run a board meeting like you shared. And really it's about time for all the generations to come together instead of defining us as a generation and working together. So, you know, my son's with a speech coach, so he can do an interview, and I'm learning how to do, you know, Instagram lives and working through the fear of what it's going to be like if someone sees me. These guys don't care, you know? So there's a lot that each generation can teach. And I also think coming out of what we've just come out of, there has been a lot of that. There's a lot of newborn people that are taking bravery. They're taking on that brave step forward. And so I like to bring it together, and we're so about that here. So I don't care how old you are. Our last guest was in their 20s. How old you are, come on to the show and do share, because we all have something for each other. So thank you so much for being here, Christian. And thank you so much, everybody. Please share and pass on. We so appreciate your, you know, you subscribing to the show and supporting and calling in, and tell us what you want to hear about on Mission Accepted. So thanks again.